If your passion lies in elite British road racing and you want an inside line on the teams, riders, organisers and sponsors that make this sport such a compelling spectacle, you're in the right place. I'm Timothy John, and joining me for every episode is my co-host, the Managing Director of Brother UK, Bill Jones.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to be here. We're going to use this platform to talk about all the key issues surrounding the sport. With special guests, deep dives into hot topics and plenty of chat, we'll keep you informed about all things UK racing. Stay tuned.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of the Brother UK Cycling Podcast, where our guest today is one of the most exciting British talents in the UCI World Tour, even in a golden era for young British riders, Max Poole. Thank you very much indeed for joining us today.
No, it's all good. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to throw a phrase at you right at the beginning. If you're good enough, you're old enough. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I think it's something we see more, I think, nowadays, not just in cycling, but all sports. I think there's a lot of really young talent. And yeah, I think it's true. And if you're good enough, you're old enough. From a physical point, obviously, there's a few aspects where, yeah, there's experience needed. But no, I think, yeah, from a physical point of things, yeah, if you're good enough, you're old enough.
It's a phrase attributed to Sir Matt Busby, who was manager of Manchester United, I'm sure you know, back in the day. Cycling has taken really until the last 5 years that riders, you know, in their early 20s, late teens even, have been given an opportunity. What do you think has changed within the sport?
I think, I think first the way, I think even over the past few years, you know, the way races have been raced, I think has changed a lot. The tactics, I think, maybe are changing a little bit. And, you know, we're seeing races start a lot further out than what maybe we would have before. I think the training's changed as well, I think, from that point. And I think, yeah, we've seen a lot more guys now at a younger age training a lot harder than what maybe they would have 10 years ago. So, I think physically now they're progressing a lot faster than in the past. And I think that's playing a big part. I think, you know, you see, yeah, like I said, with the finals and stuff, and yeah, guys like Pogacar and Remco, you know, they're not particularly old and they're able to go from, you know, a long way out. Yeah, which is different to what, you know, I think I watched growing up. So, I think, you know, the main thing really is just the training. I think there's a lot more load on the younger guys than before. And I think, yeah, if they can soak it up, then yeah, it shows in races. And I think it'll be interesting to see like how the longevity of the younger guys will be going forward now. Can they carry it forward, you know, for a long time into the 30s, or is it something that maybe is not as sustainable? So that's the only interesting thing, I think.
Yeah, I think of the sustainability, that factor is almost as much about the lifestyle, the demands, as it is the physical requirement, isn't it? Is Remco going to want to go and live up a mountain 200 days a year at altitude training camps? And perhaps yourself, you know, in his late 20s, is that something you think about, or does this feel like the right environment for you?
I think there's a lot of factors that, you know, add into everything that adds up. And for sure, you know, like where you live can be important depending on what type of rider you are and stuff. You know, you see a lot of guys living up in the mountains now. And yeah, I think it has a big impact, not just on the quality training, but I think the quality of life as well. And yeah, every little thing adds up in the end, especially when you're, you know, really pushing towards a big goal or something. You see anyway now, everybody's going up to altitude in the lead up. They have, you know, chefs, you know, personalised meals, everything. So I think there's definitely a lot more of that kind of thing that teams are investing in now. Also, I think is really helping. And yeah, I think here we do a good job actually of really putting things in place and investing and doing the right things. So yeah, hopefully with the help of the team, we can kind of give it back to them and perform out on the roads.
Is there a counterbalance in terms of the atmosphere, the vibe within the squad, it, as you say, it's very professional. You have everything you need. But equally, it does seem to be, at least here we are in January in Kelpie, it seems to be very relaxed. Seems to be a good bond among the riders, a good camaraderie. That's also an essential component, I'd suggest.
Yeah. I think this year especially, we have a really good good group here. Like I say, the camaraderie is really on a good level, actually. I think probably the best I've experienced. This is obviously my second year as a World Tour rider, but I had, you know, previous year on the Devo team as well. And yeah, it's a really tight-knit group. I think we have a lot of younger guys as well, which, I think shapes a bit of like the group dynamic, but it's good. I think the older guys like it anyway. And there's a really good balance of it, experienced guys and younger guys, and it works really nicely. And yeah, like I say, yeah, we're already out here now on the second camp in January. And yeah, you know, it's still really relaxed. We know it's a big year ahead. So I think the fact that it looks relaxed means, you know, we're all enjoying it and we're all preparing well and, you know, we're not stressed about anything. So yeah, I think it's a good sign. And I think that's also just the dynamic of the group this year. You know, it's nice and chilled and everyone gets on really well. So I think it's just natural.
There's quite a few Brits in this team. Yourself, Oscar, Sean, and then in the Devo team, I think, well, a quarter of the new intake are British riders. Clearly, it's a team where you've felt at home. Is there a sort of synergy between the Dutch and the British cultures? Is it an easy team for an English rider to assimilate into?
Yeah, I found it really easy. Like I say, yeah, my first year with the Devos was, I settled in really well. And it made the transition across to the World Tour team really, yeah, just as easy as possible, really, really smooth. And yeah, I think, you know, English is the first language on the team. It's quite, you know, I think now, obviously, with PostNL coming on board, you know, they want to show well for the Dutch side. So, you know, that's really important to them. But we have a really good mix of riders and from different countries. So, yeah, it's not really like... you know, anyone's isolating themselves or anything. It's everyone mixes really well, and it's good to see like different nationalities and different cultures and everything mixing in with each other. So yeah, there's no you know, isolation or grouping up or anything really.
You mentioned the Devo team, and I think it'd be fair to say that DSM, as Sunweb back in the day, really set the pace there with the Keep Challenging Centre in Sittard and accommodation for young riders, and already things like British Cycling's Academy seem to belong to a different age. The World Tour Devo team has become the sort of premier mode of escalation from domestic cycling to the World Tour. Is that how it seems to you? Did you have other options on the table?
Yeah, I was on Junior Academy when I was a junior, and then I decided to leave my time there. I had a really good number of years there, and I think, you know, for me as a junior, it was the best place possible. And then yeah, I decided to switch over to here, and for me, yeah, it's worked really well. I obviously wanted to focus more on the road anyway, which was part of my decision. But I think now, you know, you see a lot of guys, if we're talking about Britain, a lot of British guys now who are choosing to come to these development teams and under 23 teams, and they're doing really well. It's nice to see. Yeah, we have a lot of guys now on the development team here with Brits, and hopefully, you know, we'll see them in the coming years move up as well. But I think generally, like, I think there are quite a number of guys now who are out there riding on these under 23 Devo teams, whatever. So it's hard to say whether like it's changing or what, but for me, what the time I had at GV was really good, and really improved me as a bike rider and a person. So I'll always be grateful to them. But for me now, it felt like the right place to be, and you know, I don't have any regrets.
Do you sort of follow the domestic scene? I'm here with Brother. We sponsor two domestic women's teams. We've been in domestic cycling for about 10 years, and while the women's scene is exploding, the men's scene, unfortunately, is in decline. Is that encouraging young British riders onto Devo teams, do you think? It's almost a way out of that scene.
Yeah, I think it's hard to say what's really going on at the minute. domestically, I think, yeah, it's they're in a tough spot. Probably, you know, it's probably the lowest it's been for quite a long time. So I'm sure eventually it'll pick up again, and you know, we'll see, you know, like the old days, you know, with all the teams, you know, Madison, JLT, Rafa, all this, you know, it was really good to watch. So yeah, I think it's not as attractive now for a younger guy, younger rider. And yeah, I'm not too sure why, what the reasoning is or anything, but yeah, I think it's a way out of, you know, getting stuck maybe in a bit of a, yeah, just never ending circle. So no, I think the work that the World Tour teams are doing to push development is really good. And yeah, as many Brits possible.
One of the areas of domestic cycling that still functions extremely well is the junior scene. You had a tremendous season in 2021. You won the Junior Tour of Yorkshire. You won the Junior Tour of the Mendip. You won the opening stage of the Junior Tour of Wales. You also finished second at Philippe Gilbert Juniors. What counted more, do you think, with DSM? Were they aware of everything that you were doing in the UK? Or is it really results on the European stage that are important to professional teams?
I think I think still the British results really you know, contribute towards that. But obviously the standard is a lot higher on the continent, so a bigger race, it definitely weighs heavier than a British one. But still, you know, the British junior racing is still, you know, I think held to a really high regard. The quality is really good. And when you go across to Europe now, I think you see the top guys, you know, there's always a few Brits in there as well. So I think it's always going to be natural when you're racing on the continent with lots of other different nationalities and the best riders in the world, then yeah, they're taken into maybe a bit higher account. But I think still, you know, the British racing is really, you know, of a good quality, and the fields are always good. So I know when I was racing anyway, some of my best results and ones that I was happiest with were back at home. So yeah, I think for sure it's a different style of racing maybe, but I think they count all the same in the end. So yeah.
Charles Pidcock's teams routinely produce riders ready for professional careers. Jacob Busch has just joined this particular team. What role did Charles play in your development? How valuable was his influence?
Yeah, so I've known Giles and Sonia and the Pidcocks for a long time. Yeah, it's really hard to know for how long, maybe under 12 or even before that. So yeah, I've always been involved with Giles. He's always helped me out. Even, you know, training sessions around Richard Dunn in Bradford when I was a bit younger. All that kind of stuff, really. And then, yeah, when I obviously moved to junior, I joined Fensham Halls. He played a bit of a bigger role. I mean, he's been through it already, I guess, with Tom, so he kind of knows a little bit. But still, for him to, you know, he started to organise races now with the Tour of Yorkshire and then races, and just to get you out on Europe, I think he really understood and valued that. It's a big part of junior racing is to get out on Europe, get the results, get the experience. And yeah, for me was really fun as well, actually. It was probably some of the best moments of my career so far. Racing up there with your mates and, yeah, trying to do well. But also just, you know, learning along the way. And like I said, he's been through it already. So, yeah, he knows a lot, and he's a really valuable person. And I think he does do a lot for you know, the British junior scene, or even younger as well. I think he still has an influence, so... Yeah, he's doing really good work, and yeah, I'm always really grateful to Giles and Sonia as well. So yeah, that was definitely a big part of why I was able to do so, you know, pretty good in junior.
Absolutely. Brother has a very close relationship with the Rainer Foundation, and Giles is absolutely at the heart of their Gateway project. I think you were a Rainer rider as well at one point, weren't you?
I think the team always, you know, got some help from the Rainer Foundation. So I know they do really good work as well. I think, you know, they play a really big part for under 23s trying to really make a name for themselves out in Belgium or the Netherlands or wherever it is. So I think they're really important, actually. And yeah, they support a lot of riders. And yeah, like I said, they helped us out while I was on the team. So yeah, but I think they're also actually really valuable valuable to the younger riders who maybe aren't on a development team or, you know, yeah, they're trying to make a name for themselves, I guess.
Have you been to the dinner? Have you? I'm sure Joss will round you up at some point.
No, I've not been to one yet.
You're missing out.
I know, yeah, I hear a lot of stories, so it would be nice to go once, but yeah, no, so far I've not been.
Well, watch this space. You'll be on the poster next year, I'm quite sure. How was the connection to this team made, Max? Did they reach out to you? Did you reach out to them?
Yeah, so I spoke to who's now my personal coach, Matt Winston. Yeah, he reached out and yeah, he basically said the team were interested, and you know, we went from there, started talking a bit more. Met up with him with my dad on the M62 somewhere at one of the services. So yeah, we had a little chat there, and then I think really then I decided to sign. I think just the day before, around the time of national champs where I won. So I think it was, yeah, fairly early on in the season anyway. But yeah, basically you got in contact and we started talking from there, and you know, they laid down a plan and they you know, put forward what they wanted, and you know, I was pretty happy, yeah, with what the vision was for me, really. And yeah, it really aligned with what I wanted for a longer term. I think it was important for me to have the year under 23. I think the step up's so big anyway that it's really valuable to get a year there, I think, and try and settle into that first before then making the next step. So yeah, really just, yeah, like I said, Matt reached out, I think, you know, because he's one of the British coaches, so I think it's just normal for that to happen. But yeah, he reached out and we started going from there, and that's kind of a, yeah, short way of saying, yeah, of how I managed to get here.
Did it feel like a step into the big time? You seem like an incredibly relaxed and level-headed person, but was there a moment where you thought, this is it, this is a professional team, this is a world tour team, my career's about to take off?
Yeah, I think as it's happening, it's kind of yeah, maybe if you'd have told me when I was, you know, younger, then yeah, maybe I'd be pretty, yeah, blown away or something. But yeah, it's weird now. Also with the races last year, some of the races, it kind of feels strange, but not strange at the same time. I think because it's just me going through it, and you know, it just kind of feels more normal now. And yeah, like I say, as we're going through it, maybe, yeah, if you'd have told me again when I was younger, but it might have, you know, yeah, really blown my socks off. But now it's just kind of going through it. It's pretty, it doesn't feel, yeah, so big, even though maybe it is or not, I don't know. But yeah, it's just me going through it, and yeah, that's how I see it.
We were discussing, Max, your introduction to the team, how the connection was made via Matt Winston, and you were talking about how valuable it was to have spent a year with the Devo team rather than going straight to the World Tour team. Last year you were with the World Tour team. Did that feel like a coming of age? You had a tremendous season.
Yeah, I think first, just to make it there is, you know, it's a big achievement. It's something that really worked towards from when you start riding as a kid. So to get there in the end was, yeah, it was a really nice feeling, like, to be here and to be part of it. But obviously you don't just want to be part of it. You want to actually do stuff. Yeah, I think yesterday was all about, you know, learning the ropes and growing and developing. And then, yeah, so the start of the season, yeah, it was okay. It was good. Had some good camps. And I had a bit of a setback. I had a crash, broke a couple of ribs, and then, you know, I had to have some time out. The team were really good, put a nice plan together for me to get back into training. Yeah, invested in me a lot to get me back to the point where I could start racing at a good level. And that's when, you know, it took off a little bit to all the Alps and Romandy. Yeah, which was a big step, actually, from not just from before, but also from where I left off, you know, at Hope Vale, where I started the season. So, yeah, it was like it did feel like quite a big step already. But yeah, you know, just try to take it in my stride and not get too carried away and just keep working on what I need to work on and doing what I need to do, and just focusing on myself.
You were the team's highest placed rider at the Tour of the Alps. Were you riding as a protected rider, as a leader? Were you putting your hand up in the morning and saying, I feel good, I need the team around me? Or is it sort of more fluid than that?
Yeah, I think the goal was more to protect me a bit and just keep me in a good spot. I don't think as a team we probably expected me to maybe to perform as well as I did, but the team did a really good job there. We came up with some nice race plans, and in the end it was a nice result, and to win my first jersey was a really special feeling. So it was a good race. I think it was a good learning point from starting to be a bit more protected in some situations. So
you're second in the white jersey classification at the Dauphiné. By that stage of the season, everybody's very serious. The Tour is only a few weeks away for those who are going. Did you feel that increase in intensity?
Yeah, I think the Dauphiné was it was probably one of the hardest races of the season, maybe the hardest race, along with the Vuelta. Just the racing's on it all the time. Like I say, a lot of guys there ready to go into the Tour. So it was a really tough race. Also, the parkour is a bit, it's always challenging. You never really have the flat days. So that was a tough race, and I think to be at that level of competing was definitely a really good feeling. It felt like I was in the race, not just riding along trying to follow. And although sometimes you do feel a bit like it, you are in the race ultimately. And I think going through that with that competition was, again, just a good learning step. Unfortunately, I couldn't hold on to the white the last day. I was a bit cooked, but I was really happy anyway. And it was a good race and a good experience. So, which again, I think helped me take forward to the second half of the season.
Of course, the second half of the season was dominated by the Vuelta, which was just an extraordinary race for you in the breakaway on three occasions, and on stage 18, just unbelievable ride. I think that the venture began as early as stage one, though. You guys won the opening stage team time trial in crazy conditions. You were off early, I think, before it actually got dark. But what do you remember about that day?
Yeah, so obviously we were there a couple of days before, did some TTT training. I think, we all felt the same, that for sure we was not going to be, pushing for the win, just seeing how things went. But on the day of the race, it was pretty relaxed, just, round the hotel in the morning. Obviously with the later start, you don't need to leave the hotel till late. So it was quite a relaxed morning. Then, get to the race, I think we did maybe two laps of the course, and I think was actually, for the group we had there, was a really good course. I think, we all don't mind pushing the limit a little bit. And in the end, we did a really good ride. I think it was pretty wet, all the way throughout the race, in fairness. I think from start to finish, obviously, by the end, it did get quite dark. But I think really when you look at the timings and the splits, and we can give ourselves credit that we actually did a good ride and made the difference where it mattered. But it was really special just to be in the hot seats with everybody and enjoy that moment when we knew we'd won. It was probably the highlight of, not just the year, but of my whole time as being a cyclist.
To win as a team, it's a rare occurrence for a cyclist, isn't it? It's a team sport with an individual winner. Was it all the more special because you could share it?
Yeah, I think exactly that. To win as a team is definitely a real achievement. You've all been working really hard towards this goal, and without one another, it really wouldn't have come off. So it was just super special and really nice way to start the race off. And to enjoy it with all the guys there, I think we'll cherish that for the rest of our lives.
You spoke earlier about the value of balance in among different ages throughout the squad, and that's obvious here in Calpe when you see the camaraderie of the riders. I guess it has real tangible value when you're about to roll off the start ramp for your first Grand Tour in treacherous conditions and then somebody like Romain Bardet alongside you who's been there and done it.
I think there as well, you know, we had a really good blend. Was, I think, predominantly, you know, young team. I think maybe we had four guys. Yeah, David in a grand tour, so it's quite a lot. But on the other hand, the other guys starting are pretty experienced, you know, Romain, Hamo, Combo and Dino. So, you know, they've all been there ridden grand tours, you know. So they all know how it goes. And yeah, you know, they can give pretty invaluable advice. You know, it's not just, you know, the feeling of how previous stages or races have gone with, you know, similar parkours, or, you know, in previous editions with, you know, these same roads, they know how it is. And, you know, they just have a general feeling for how things are going to go. So, yeah, it's really valuable. And like I say, yeah, we definitely, you can take a lot of away as a younger guy riding with, you know, these guys in, you know, the biggest races.
You were in the break as early as stage six, which turned out to be the break that defined the race. What was your feeling on the road that day? Had you hoped, had you planned to be in the break, or did it simply happen? Did you find yourself with good legs and an opportunity?
Yeah, to be fair to everybody who was in the break on that day, you really had to earn it. It wasn't, you know, it was a big fight. I remember it was going on probably over half the stage. Yeah, over some, you know, climbs and hard terrain. So, you know, everybody there was, you know, deserved to be there and clearly had good legs on the day. So, yeah, it was a tough stage. I do remember quite well. And yeah, it was just this fight seemed to just go on forever. And once it had happened, it was like, okay, yeah, finally. But, you know, you look around and there's like, you know, half the bunch there. So there's still, I think it was a bit of a, you know, cat and mouse still with the combination. You know, I think there were some teams that had kind of missed it and teams who had, you know, kind of leader-ish guys there. So obviously Cuss, and I think some other teams had guys like that there. So I think it was still a bit of a tactical thing, but, you know, it was up to them to control the pace in front and behind. But yeah, like I say, once you know, you get in there, it was already starting to look ahead to the final. So it was just a hard day racing that day. And yeah, it was a tough final climb.
It was a coronation day for young riders. Martinez went into red. You'd been in the break. You were in the break again on stage 16 for much longer, I think, this time.
I think, the day before the Angoulême maybe. Yeah, the start, I remember, again, was pretty bad weather. So, we were there, we were ready. Me and Romain got in a move. It was a really strong move, actually, and one that should have gone all the way to the end. Unfortunately, Ineos decided to really go hard and bring it back. And then, yeah, I managed to get in the next break that I think made it to the bottom of the final climb. Fortunately, on this occasion, yeah, Jumbo decided to bring that one back. So, just didn't happen. And, yeah, I remember coming away that day feeling a bit, you know, that was the chance. That was kind of the feeling. It was nice to be in both races, but ultimately, you know, we wasn't finding it out. And it was good to see that the feeling was good. The legs were there, you know, so deep into the race. But yeah, still, it was, yeah, left coming away a bit. Yeah, maybe that was the one.
Well, you didn't have to wait long for the chance to come. 2 days later, stage 18, and an unbelievable ride trying to chase down Remco on those crazy descents. Then Caruso joined you and promptly refused to work. Again, what's your sort of standout memory from that day?
Yeah, I managed to make it into the break. It was kind of like a weird way of the formation happened. It just kind of went a bit randomly. I think everyone was expecting a big fight again, but no, it just went. And yeah, I think Remco was the last guy to come across on his own, so obviously it's, you know, it is a big game changer. I think everybody's looking around at him waiting for him to do his thing. If he hadn't been there, for sure the race would have panned out a lot differently. But yeah, it was all about trying to hang on as long as possible. You know, I was there in the fight, so, you know, I had to go in. You know, there's no point just settling for, you know, to try and ride for second or third in that position. You know, it's, I was there fighting all race to be in a break to win a stage. So it was just normal to try and hang on to him. You know, unfortunately, I couldn't. He was really strong. And then, yeah, did a good descent. you know, I'd fill in Callum behind in the car field, was giving pretty good comms, you know, so I wasn't really looking at the map. I could just focus on doing the descent. Yeah, in the moment it didn't feel so fast, and then yeah, after, you know, and I'd heard, yeah, you know, you're taking out time, all this, and yeah, well, no, I think looking back it was a good descent. And then yeah, I kind of blew up in when we hit the valley road and Caruso came back, and yeah, he didn't want to ride, and then he did start riding, and yeah, I just, from that moment on when we hit the valley road, I was already, yeah, pretty cooked. And yeah, fortunately blew up, got rolled for a third place, but I was a bit disappointed in the moment, but I think was happy that I'd gone in for the fight and it didn't pay off, but you know, it will eventually someday, some grand tour. So no, it was a good experience. It was a hard day out, and yeah, it was just a good memory to hang on to for the future.
I think that speaks volumes, Max. You say it's normal to go for the win. It's not normal for a 20-year-old to be in a break with one of the best riders possibly in the history of the sport in his debut Grand Tour. And yet, you mentioned a couple of times there you were there to fight, and that was written all over that performance. You were definitely not starstruck. You were not there to make up the numbers. You were there to try and win the stage. Amazing performance.
Yeah, well, I had, I'd overcome some problems in the first week, and, you know, so I wasn't there just to roll around. I had to wait really till the third week to get stuck into the race. You know, the leg started to turn a corner there. So, you know, I wasn't going to go through 2 weeks of suffer just to, you know, roll around for anybody. So, yeah, that was kind of the mentality there. And yeah, that's just how it was.
It was your last race. Your season ended there. In what sort of physical condition did you finish the race? Some riders ride themselves into form throughout a Grand Tour. Yeah. Others end a Grand Tour on their knees. How was it for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I finished well in the third week. So you know, I was coming out looking forward to doing some of the Italian classics at the end of the season. Took the normal rest, restarted training, and you know, just wasn't right. I you know, was finding it hard to train, you know, in the week or so after the Vuelta, in that transition bit into the Italian races. So yeah, the plan was to go there and race, but unfortunately it didn't happen. So was a weird feeling, you know, I think, to finish the Vuelta so good in the third week, and then all of a sudden to feel, you know, at the bottom of the barrel was it was a bit of a weird feeling. It was a bit anticlimactic just to, you know, to finish it there, but no, it is what it is. And then you know, I think it was the right decision in the end, so you know, I can't really have any complaints. And yeah, it was just then about resting up and looking ahead to this year.
Has it felt like a long winter? How have you filled your time? You've been home.
It's been a really good winter, actually. I you know, obviously took some time off there, you know, spent some time at home with the family. We had a nice team get together in October, and was really nice to get to know the new riders, and you know, just enjoy some time with the team where, you know, bikes weren't involved. Then yeah, restarted training, came here a bit early before the December camp. Yeah, had a really good couple of weeks, another really good couple of weeks on the team camp, and then back home for Christmas, just nice, relax, spend some time at home, which is really good. Bit of a mental refresh, which is nice as well, and then back here already in January. So yeah, that's kind of a brief summary of the winter, but it's been a really good one, actually. I'm pretty happy with it, and so it's set us up good, I think.
Where is home?
Yeah, home is just outside Scunthorpe, so just out there somewhere in the middle of nowhere. So, little village called Garthorpe. So yeah.
Does it feel strange to be back there now?
No, it doesn't feel strange to go back. It's always the same, like, kind of. Yeah, it kind of feels weird to think you're going back, but once you're back, it just feels normal. So that was nice. Yeah, like I say, just could put the feet up and relax a bit.
'24, it's here already. Do you have any specific goals, or is it a more general emphasis on maturity, on continuing to develop?
Yeah, I think you know, I think there's kind of a couple goals, but as a yeah, generally there's like one goal to keep just developing and growing at a good rate. A bit like we talked earlier, you know, just to make sure we do everything in the right way to make it sustainable for the future as well, because that's also really important. And you know, hopefully I can work towards the Giro, go there together with Roman and, you know, a pretty good team actually. We have some goals there, which I think, you know, when we're on it, we can actually really achieve and have a nice race. So yeah, like I say, go there with Roman. I'll be there under his wing trying to help him achieve his goals and learn from him as well, how he deals with doing, you know, things in a grand tour. Obviously, I did the Vuelta already together with him and done some races before. So I really appreciate the time with him. And like I say, you're always learning stuff when you're with an experienced guy like him.
Yeah, Team DSM, Firmenich, PostNL obviously feels like home. You signed till 2027. That must give you a lot of stability.
Yeah, obviously we extended or, you know, renewed or however, you know, you call it nowadays last year. So it was a good feeling to get that done. You know, you can just completely focus on what you're doing on the bike rather than have to worry about other things. It was also nice, you know, to get the reassurance from the team that they believe I can be, you know, going forward one of their guys. So yeah, you know, it was a good confidence boost really. And yeah, like I said, now I can just focus on the riding and doing what I need to do.
I'm sure the prospect of seeing you at the Giro will delight British fans. Max, thanks very much indeed for your time today and very best of luck in 2024.
Cheers, thank you very much.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, please hit subscribe.